Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. As always, thank you so incredibly much for being here. Today, we've got the big news that Aaron Rodgers is, of course, going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. He's not retiring. He's not going to some random team. He is, in fact, going to where we expected him to go all along. You could kind of predict this based on all the puzzle pieces, basically, with the Steelers not really doing anything else at quarterback, with the NFL putting Steelers Jets week one, Steelers Packers in primetime. It just always felt like it was funneling to this particular decision. We're going to go and break it all down and what it means for the Packers specifically as they have a game coming up, what it means for the NFL, what it means for Aaron Rodgers, all of it encompassing today. I did think about, and just to be totally transparent here, I understand that this is the Pack-A-Day podcast. This is not the NFL a day podcast. This is not the Aaron Rodgers a day podcast. This is not the Steelers a day podcast. This is about the Green Bay Packers, and Aaron Rodgers is not a Green Bay Packer. The Steelers are, of course, a team that is in the AFC North, not the NFC North. So I do understand that this one might not be for everyone. Had this been a situation where another legendary quarterback was signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers, if Tom Brady was coming out of retirement and signing with Pittsburgh, probably wouldn't have done a full episode on it today. If Aaron was playing in Pittsburgh this year, but they didn't play the Packers, probably wouldn't have done a full episode on it today. And if they didn't play the NFC North, probably didn't wouldn't have done a full episode. But all of those things encompassing, this is an all-time Packers great. Figuring out where he's going to go with his, you know, final stages probably of his career, who knows, but likely the final stages of his career. And then, of course, you have them facing the Packers and the NFC North. I felt like it was enough to discuss, and there's a lot to go over with this. So we're going to jump into it right away. If this isn't your particular cup of tea, no worries whatsoever. Hopefully you'll come back tomorrow and we'll see you guys then. But as of now, we're going to go over and break down the entirety of this Aaron Rodgers to the Pittsburgh Steelers situation. And let me just start by saying, I am all in, absolutely 100%, unequivocally, completely overjoyed with this decision from Aaron Rodgers for a variety of different reasons. First and foremost, there are few players that are so just inherently good for football like Aaron. Tom Brady was this way. What I mean by that is when you turned on football every Sunday or whenever Tom Brady was playing, you had a significant rooting interest in what was going to happen. You either were hoping Tom Brady was going to win, or you were aggressively hoping that Tom Brady was going to lose. And that is good for football. When you turn the TV on and you put a football game on, there's some people, myself included, that it doesn't matter. If it is Panthers, Titans, Thursday night football in a preseason game, I'm all in. You've got me. You had me at football, right? But in general, it's a lot more fun. It's a lot more enjoyable if there's some rooting interest one way or the other. And Aaron Rodgers pretty much always has some sort of rooting interest on one side or the other, no matter what. If you are, and especially there's a lot of Packers fans out there that are still diehard Aaron Rodgers fans, understandably so. Like I said, legendary Green Bay Packer, all-time great. If that is you, you are, I'm sure, probably excited about this. I think most, for the most part, because you get to still watch Aaron Rodgers play football. I know there's some people that fall into the category of huge Aaron Rodgers fans that it's still difficult to see him in anything other than green and gold. So maybe this isn't also your cup of tea, but for the most part, if you're an Aaron Rodgers fan, you're probably pretty excited that he's still playing and excited to cheer him on, especially on an AFC team that doesn't have a ton of bearing on the Packers. And besides that one game where he is playing against the Packers, you actually get to see him and cheer him on when he takes on the Vikings, the Lions, and the Bears. So there's a fun aspect of that as well. If you swing to the other side and you cannot stand Aaron, and you were so happy when the Packers traded Aaron Rodgers, and you are in the camp of whatever all the stuff that went on outside of it, and you're just like, you know what? I can't stand this guy, and I want to watch him lose. This is great for you too. when you turn on the TV and Aaron Rodgers is playing football, you have a rooting interest in that game for the other team. Now, there may be some complications when it's Bears versus Steelers or Vikings versus Steelers, but still, it's better than the alternative where you're just Mason Rudolph's on your TV and you have like, I don't really care about that, right? So whether you are pro or anti, this is good. And then there's those in the middle that don't really care one way or the other. They don't care what team he goes to. They don't care. He's no longer a Green Bay Packer, so whatever. Or they just, you know, whatever team he wants to play for, it's fine. They don't have a rooting interest one way or the other. Even still, you're usually a fan of better football. And I don't think there's anyone that's arguing that the Steelers would be better football with Mason Rudolph or Will Howard at quarterback rather than Aaron Rodgers. So this is better for the NFL. To me, it's better for the Aaron Rodgers fans. It's better for the Aaron Rodgers haters. I just think that this is a win all the way around. And he's just that sort of polarizing figure that no matter what, when he is on, you have some sort of interest in that game, whatever side you are on. And to me, that is a huge win. And it's just better for football in general. The next thing I'll say is, I don't think anyone's really arguing that Aaron, at least by the end of last year, you know, I don't know what this year is going to look like. You know, at some point, everyone has that point where they just can't do it anymore. Maybe that happens to Aaron this year, but I don't, even last year in what is a down year. And yes, there's the very famous Aaron Rodgers quote that down years for Aaron are the best years for most quarterbacks. And he's still completely true in that statement. He was still quite clearly one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the world this past year. And I want as many of the top 32 quarterbacks in the world playing on any given weekend. I don't need to see the 70th best quarterback or the 60th or the 50th. I would like to see the top 32 guys out there because there's only so many of these guys that can make it competitive week in and week out. There's usually not even 32 in the league. And when Aaron is still playing well, he is still definitely in that conversation for being one of those guys that can go out and play an incredible game at any given moment. So to me, rather than having to watch quarterbacks that are mostly unwatchable, if I get to see another season of Aaron, I'm excited about that. And I know that some people just want to see him retire or walk into the sunset and not walk literally into the sunset, but you get my point, walk off into the sunset. That to me is understandable. But if he is still one of the top 32, then he has every right to continue to play. Even if he's not, he has the right to continue to play if some team wants to pay him $20 million to do so, which by the way is the rumored amount of 1 year, $20 million deal. We'll see what the ultimate details come out with when we get those. But if some team wants to pay him, he has every right to do it. But I still think he is very clearly one of the top 32 and deserves to be out there every single week. The next thing is, and we kind of talked about it already, is that NFL schedule. And you want as many entertaining, fun games out there as possible. And again, football is great almost no matter what, but the more drama, the more entertainment, the more storylines that you can have, it's just better for the game. And week one, you start right away with Aaron Rodgers versus the New York Jets. Noon kickoff, Packers don't kick off till 3:30. So if you want to keep an extra eye on that one, that's a good one to watch. What does Aaron Rodgers look like as a Steeler? And then, of course, you get to see him go against his former team. And there's already this built-in sort of tension there because Rodgers flew out all the way to New York per Aaron and met with the team to try to say like, all right, what's the plan going to be? Do you guys want to move forward? What's the team going to look like? And they basically said, no, we're out. We have no interest in keeping you. And he's like, that could have been an email and so on and so forth. So there was already some animosity built there between Aaron Glenn, the new head coach in New York, and Aaron Rodgers. And now they're going to face each other in week one. That to me is very good for football. In week four, you get Steelers Vikings in an international game that's going to be nationwide to everybody because it's 8:30 a.m. kickoff or whatever Central Time, and that has its own level of intrigue. Sure, it's an international game; we all would have tuned in anyway. But now you get Rodgers versus the Vikings again. That is very, very fun as an international game. Of course, week eight. Packers Steelers, Sunday Night Football. Do we wish it was in Lambeau? Of course, but either way, we actually get to see it. Should be an unbelievable game in week eight. We'll talk about that one more in just a moment. How about Rodgers versus the Bears in week 12? I still own you. Rodgers has gone on the record. He made a joke about it this offseason already about going back to Chicago. Very intrigued in that one in week 12. And then the Lions in week 16 is, of course, another part of the rivalry that he's been a part of for so long as well. So some fun ones on the schedule in that regard. Plus, you have a lot of national games for Pittsburgh. We talked about that international one with the Vikings. They have Thursday night football with the Bengals and sign me up for Rodgers versus Joe Burrow. You've got Sunday night football with the Packers. Sunday night football with the Chargers and Rodgers versus Herbert. And then you've got a Monday night football game later in the season with the Dolphins as well. So again, if we're going to have to sit through a bunch of national Steelers games, again, I would much rather have Aaron out there than, again, Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, or for that matter, even Kirk Cousins or anyone else that they were going to be able to find at this point in the season. And then, of course, the big thing is that week 8 game, Packers versus Steelers. From a Packers point of view, which is clearly where we're coming at this, it certainly makes that game tougher. Not only does it make it tougher, it makes it much more of a big fight feel. Sunday night football. It is a game that is going to have everyone's attention. It will be Rodgers versus the Packers, Rodgers versus Love, Rodgers versus LaFleur. It's going to feel that way, and it's going to feel pretty epic. And those games in and of themselves can be a little bit more emotionally draining just because it does have just that little extra emphasis. It is going to be all eyes, all attention on that game. It is going to be the game of the week. And regardless of what else is going on that week, assuming Aaron is healthy and for the most part, the two teams are healthy going into that game, that is going to be must-watch football. So Green Bay is going to go into Pittsburgh. Remember, they're going to be all the way on the west side. I said West Coast, even in quotes, and people got mad because Arizona's not on the coast. I know that. I understand it. But on the western side of the United States, you go to Arizona. And then on the eastern side, back to Pittsburgh. So you've got a little bit of travel there week over week. And then the Steelers also have a rest advantage for that game as well. So Pittsburgh's going to have some baked-in advantages. This is going to be a big-time game on Sunday Night Football. Again, Rodgers versus the Packers. And it's going to feel that way. So it adds a little bit of intensity in the middle of the season. And again, it does definitely make that game a little bit more complicated with Rodgers at quarterback than if it would have been Mason Rudolph or Will Howard or, probably anyone else that they could have acquired at this point in the season. We'll be right back. Hey friends, I'm so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Pre-Alcohol. Now, ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of that byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down, so just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, to drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit skeptical about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer's here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather, and before that backyard barbecue brew, the glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach or a cocktail by the campfire, do not forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that summer has to offer. So go to zbiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code packaday. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/packaday and use code packaday. Pack a day at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code pack a day. Adding on top of this is another little fun storyline is that Rodgers has wins against 31 of the 32 franchises in the NFL. You don't need me to tell you which is the one that he doesn't have a win against. And this is his opportunity, probably his only opportunity to get a win against the Packers and complete the infinity gauntlet or whatever it is that you want to call it, the NFL gauntlet of defeating all 32 NFL teams. I don't know if it matters to him. I don't know that that is even going to be on the first 100 lines of his legacy that he beat all 32 NFL teams. My guess is that he A, just wants to win the game, B, wants to beat the Packers, and then C, if he gets wind that, hey, this is probably your own opportunity to win against all 32 teams, those are just things that Aaron usually likes, right? So it wouldn't stun me if that gave him a little bit extra motivation. And then, of course, we're going to get all the storylines, right? Like I mentioned, Rodgers versus Matt LaFleur, Rodgers versus the Packers in general, Rodgers versus Jordan Love. And of course, it's silly, as Rodgers would say on Pat McAfee on numerous occasions, it's not Rodgers versus another quarterback. They're not going to be on the same field at the same time, but it is still going to be billed as such. And those storylines are just going to write themselves. And it's just going to give, I think, a lot of eyes and attention to that game And it should be one of the games of the year if it does come to fruition that way, which it looks like it's going to, barring any injuries. I don't know what the product on the field looks like. We're not sure at this point in time, you know, what the Packers' record is going to be going into week 8. We don't know what the Steelers are going to look like going into week 8. Maybe Rodgers just looks completely done and him and the offense are already disjointed and there's already, you know, finger pointing at wide receivers for running the wrong routes and all of that stuff's going on. And maybe the Packers are a juggernaut or maybe it's flipped. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. I don't think the records matter all that much at that point. You know, whether the Packers are 7-0 or 6-0 because they have that bye week before. So whether they're 6-0 or 0-6 or anything in between, and the same thing for the Steelers, it's still going to feel like a big game. And I'd be pretty stunned if the teams didn't have at least solid to middle level records at that point in the year. So it should, again, have that big fight feel almost regardless. But certainly if both teams are really doing well, can you imagine if it's like each team has a loss or are undefeated or anything like that? Man, just either way, no matter what, going to feel like a big game, but it even has the ability to get to a higher level if both teams are cooking at that point in the season. The other aspect of this from a Packers standpoint is that there are real legitimate NFC North implications. And the Steelers play every team in the NFC North, the AFC North and NFC North play each other. So as a, you know, if you are wanting to cheer on Aaron Rodgers this year, as mentioned kind of earlier, you do get some rooting interest. It will be the, you know, Rodgers and the Steelers versus the Bears, the Lions, and the Vikings this upcoming season. And Rodgers has the ability to do the Packers a favor. It, you know, in an ideal world, the Steelers and Rodgers go 3-1 against the NFC North, and hopefully the Packers pick up that win, and Rodgers and the Steelers can do some, you know, helping of the Packers by beating the three other teams in the North. And again, all of those matchups are, you know, uniquely interesting in and of themselves. But add on top of it that, again, if you're a Rodgers fan or, you know, just enjoyed him while he was in Green Bay, well, now you get to, you know, enjoy watching him go up against those teams and hopefully pick off some wins and maybe give an extra L or two to the Vikings, Lions, or Bears along the way. And again, especially if the Packers can pick up that win, this could work out very nicely for Green Bay. You could have lived in a world in which, you know, and again, I give the Steelers more credit because Mike Tomlin is a 500 coach or better no matter what. But if you were living in a Mason Rudolph or Will Howard era, you know, maybe it's the NFC North just goes 4-0 against Pittsburgh. Now those games are much more interesting with Rodgers at quarterback, and you easily could see Rodgers picking off a couple of those games and maybe even helping Green Bay along the way. Not intentionally, of course, but just in general. One of the funny storylines here that I just find a little bit of humor, and I tweeted this out as well. Of course, the long national narrative in Green Bay was that the Packers never did anything to get Aaron Rodgers a first-round wide receiver. Well, I will tell you, now they gave up a lot for DK Metcalf and a huge contract, but hate to tell everyone, the Pittsburgh Steelers do not have a first-round wide receiver or tight end or running back on their entire roster. Are they wasting Aaron Rodgers' twilight years of his career? Do they even care? Do they even want Aaron to win? I think these are fair questions, and I think it should probably be a national narrative as to whether or not the Steelers have enough weapons around Aaron Rodgers. And just with no first rounders, I don't know how the Steelers could possibly find any success. But I did find that a little bit funny when I looked at it after years and years of, oh, Rodgers never got a first round wide receiver. Now he goes to Pittsburgh. He did get Garrett Wilson in New York. And look, it would be funny too if, like, all the years in Green Bay where he was so successful, no first-round wide receiver. He goes out and has success this year in Pittsburgh, no first-round wide receiver. And then the years that he actually had one in New York with Garrett Wilson were an unmitigated nightmare. There'd be a little bit of humor to that, but the Steelers do not have a first-round weapon for Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, he decided to play there anyway. It's remarkable, I know, but we'll see if that ends up being a national narrative. My guess is it will not. But when it was a Packers thing, big-time issue, despite having Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, James Jones, Randall Cobb, Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there was no first rounders. So very, very big deal at the time. My question now is, what does this Steelers offense look like? Not necessarily even from like a play calling standpoint, although that's very interesting to me as well. But do they go out and get an Alan Lazard from the Jets? I'm sure the Jets would be willing to trade away Alan Lazard. Is that something that Rodgers wants? Another veteran that he knows that he can give some hand signals to out there with him? Are the Steelers willing to do that? And then you get into this whole, how much control does Aaron have? How much is he will, you know, is Mike Tomlin and the Steelers staff willing to cede to Aaron Rodgers? This is not the Pittsburgh Steelers way of doing things. This is not Mike Tomlin's way of doing things. But Aaron likes doing things his way. And he doesn't like a lot of motion. He likes receivers being a little bit more static. He likes them doing things a certain way. Having all the checks and the calls at the line of scrimmage. So how is that going to mesh? He is going to be at minicamp next week, so that'll be an opportunity for everyone to get on the same page. Feels like there can potentially be a honeymoon period here, but I am interested to see, just again, is there any concessions made to Aaron? Is there anyone that they bring in for him? Specifically, I think Lazard would potentially be the one that would maybe make some sense there. And again, I can't imagine that the Jets want anything of real value for Allen in that situation. I could see them potentially doing that. Heck, you could probably just swap like Robert Woods for Allen Lazard. I don't even know that the Jets care at that point. So that's an interesting one. And then just in general, how much of this is the Rodgers offense and Rodgers saying, hey, just give me the keys. I'll take care of it from here. Or do the Steelers say, no, you're running what we want to run. That's part of the deal, but it's non-negotiable. Mike Tomlin's in charge. They're going to run the Steelers offense and that's all there is to it. And then is there butting heads in regard to that as well? So that piece of it is very intriguing to me. And it'll be interesting if there's butting heads. You have two strong-willed people in Aaron and Mike Tomlin. They have a ton of respect for each other. And I think that works, but there could be fireworks down the road. And just again, very interested to see how all of that plays out. As far as the Steelers roster as is, you're looking at Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, Jaylen Warren and rookie Caleb Johnson at running back, DK Metcalf, Kelvin Austin, Robert Woods, and Roman Wilson at wide receiver. Again, you could see maybe Rodgers wanting, maybe someone like Allen Lazard that just knows what he likes to do a little bit better. Pat Freiermuth and Darnell Washington at tight end. Broderick Jones, Isaac Suamalu, Zach Frazier, Mason McCormick, and Troy Fatanu at offensive line. And then they have a really, really good defense that should set up that Steelers offense for success. This is why we do the Packers 365 days a year, not other teams, but should set up the Steelers for success in Cam Hayward. You've got Derek Harmon, the rookie out of Oregon that they picked up in the first round. Keanu Benton out of Wisconsin, who's a heck of a talent along the defensive line. TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith at edge rusher, along with Nate's the offensive guard. Nick Herbig, the edge rusher, who was that designated pass rush specialist, and they drafted Jack Sawyer as an edge rusher out of Ohio State as well. Peyton Wilson and Patrick Queen at linebacker. Darius Slay, Joey Porter Jr. on the outside at corner with Beanie Bishop in the slot. Corey Trice backing up. And then Minkah Fitzpatrick and Juan Thornhill at safety with Deshaun Elliott there as well. That defense should be really good. If they can stay healthy, Watts had some issues, Fitzpatrick's had some issues, and they do need to stay healthy, even Highsmith, Hayward, et cetera. But if they can stay healthy, it should be a very good defense and one that doesn't have to rely on Aaron on the offense, putting up 30 points per game. We use the word game manager usually in a derogatory way. I don't think it is anymore. If Aaron can kind of be the game manager, let DK and Kelvin Austin do a little bit of the heavy lifting, let them run the ball, with Jaylen Warren and Caleb Johnson, the rookie, there's an opportunity here to be successful. Whether or not that works or not, and whether or not this philosophy of bringing in Rodgers and his side of things with everything that's going on in Pittsburgh already, I don't know. It could be perfect. It could be a nightmare. It could be a train wreck. But again, I think that's what makes it so intriguing and so exciting just to see how does this play out. You're not going to want to take your eyes off of it. Even if it's a train wreck, you're still looking at it and be like, ooh, that is one ugly train wreck. And if it works out great, then you're looking like, wow, this is a team that's really competing. And that's a story in and of itself. So you get a story almost no matter what and something, again, that's worth watching almost no matter what. We'll be right back. Okay, so let me get this straight. You know ball, right? Well, there is only one series left in the playoffs and the championship is officially on the line, and that means that time is running out for you to put your final takes to the test on Prize Picks, the best place to cash in on your favorite sports. Now, Prize Picks is going all out for the finals in both hockey and in basketball, and there's never been a better time to get in on the action and to start winning. And right now, you can sign up for Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is absolutely guaranteed. So do you think Shea will get more than 30 points? Halliburton more than 10 assists? Cook up your hot takes with your friends and win real money this postseason when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. This week, I'm kicking off the playoffs by going with big games from both Jalen Williams and Aaron Nesmith in the first two games of the series. And the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Run your game. I do wonder how this plays into a TJ Watt extension. TJ Watt and the Steelers are working on a contract situation that they, Watt wants something a little bit more concrete. He's set to be a free agent next year. We'll see how that kind of plays out. And then, you know, if there is any sort of bright side for, you know, a Packers viewpoint, there was a little flirting between the Vikings and Aaron Rodgers. The Vikings confirmed it. They said, yeah, we talked to him. How could we not? Like, they're basically saying, like, listen, when you have a legend like Aaron Rodgers and he's, you know, wants to talk to you about stuff, like, you pick up the phone and you talk about stuff. And it felt, quite frankly, pretty clear. And we don't know this. It's not reported. It's not for sure. But it kind of felt this way that Rodgers probably wanted to be a Viking. And I don't think that this was in a Brett Favre sort of way where I think Favre wanted to be a Viking to kind of stick it to the Packers. I could be wrong. I could easily be wrong here. I don't feel like that was the case for Aaron. And maybe it was like a side bonus or whatever. And maybe that was a nice little piece on top of it, the cherry on top or whatever. But I just think it made a lot of sense for playing with Kevin O'Connell in that offense that's so quarterback friendly, getting two big time wide receivers in Jefferson and Addison. I'm sure playing with Aaron Jones at running back was a nice bonus as well. Really good offensive line. Again, Hockenson at tight end, a really good defense with Brian Flores leading the way. He probably looked at Minnesota and said, if I'm QB there, I legitimately have a chance at a Super Bowl. With Pittsburgh, he probably knows that there's some things that would need to go right in order for that to happen. Whereas in Minnesota, he's probably thinking, man, if Sam Darnold can almost get him there, man, imagine what I can do. I'm not saying that that's going to be the case, but I think he's probably thinking that. So I'm sure there was a piece of him that really wanted to be in Minnesota, probably for that primary reason. And for me, just when I was looking at it, I think Minnesota made the right move and going with McCarthy and putting that off. But there was always just this little inkling of like, does Rodgers string this out through like almost middle or end of training camp? And if McCarthy struggles in preseason or just doesn't look the part as they're kind of going through everything and they are all of a sudden getting a little bit panicked of like, all right, maybe he's not ready. Would they have pulled the trigger on Aaron? I think the answer is probably yes. If McCarthy just did not look anywhere near ready, I think there could have been a situation where that took place. Now, maybe they wouldn't have done that to McCarthy and let him go through everything and just see and like get him in games and maybe not break his confidence. Probably the right way to go about it. But for the Vikings, like they were right there a season ago. And if McCarthy just clearly was not ready and felt like he needed a year or two yet, it wouldn't have stunned me if they would have made that phone call and said, hey, Aaron, we know you were interested. Are you still interested? Because we might need to do something here. So if you're a Packer fan that really did not want to see Aaron in Minnesota, which I would have definitely been in that camp. I wanted Aaron to come back and not as a Minnesota Viking. That would have been a bridge too far. But that piece of it seems entirely off the table. Not 1,000,000% off the table. There is always a world in which the Steelers are not competitive at the trade, by the trade deadline, and a team that has an injured quarterback, if McCarthy would have another knee injury or something like that, where there could be a trade. It's really, really unlikely to cross that line, though, because if the Steelers are really bad and Rodgers is up for trade, it's probably because Rodgers has not been playing very well, and I'm not sure that there's actually going to be any team that's interested in making that move midway through the season. So I think it's very slim and unlikely, but for now, it does seem like we've avoided any sort of Rodgers to Minnesota catastrophic situation, and I, for one, am very glad about that. Another sort of side quest here that's of note is that Mike Tomlin has gone 18 consecutive years without a losing season. It's a very tough division. You've got the Bengals in the division, you've got the Ravens in the division, and you have the Browns. That's a bonus, but two very tough teams at the top of the division. And the side quest here is like, if this would be the year where Tomlin does not reach 19 consecutive years, it's probably not a great look at Aaron that he just went out and got, the entire New York Jets front office and coaching staff, not directly, but you get my point. Like, it didn't work out to the point where everyone got fired in New York. And now Mike Tomlin, for the very first time in 19 years, does not get a winning season. That's gonna leave an old mark on the old resume, and it's not gonna be a good one. So that's a little bit of a side quest there. And then if Mike Tomlin is just basically a guaranteed, you know, non-losing season every single year, what can Aaron do to elevate that and make them into a playoff team? I think that's an interesting aspect of this as well. Meanwhile, these dudes seem like two teams that were made for each other, and the fact that they kind of needed each other. The Steelers have lost six consecutive playoff games when they have reached the playoffs, and Rodgers hasn't won a playoff game since that 2020 playoff run when they beat the Rams on, what was it, June 16th of 2021. That was per Adam Schefter, who tweeted that out earlier today. So this is a quarterback in Rodgers that has not had the success as of late. This is a team in the Steelers, well, with all the accolades that they have as a franchise, has not been able to win playoff games as of late. We'll see if these two together can both get over that hump and finally not only get to the playoffs, but maybe win a playoff game this upcoming season. And then, of course, you have Rodgers' legacy that is certainly not on the line, but a part of this for Aaron has to be wanting to finish it better than what happened with the Jets. Wins and losses are not a quarterback stat, but the Jets were 5-12 with Rodgers over the last 17 games and over last year. It did not go great. Now, again, his worst seasons are most quarterbacks' best seasons. Still completed 63% of his passes, almost 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Statistically, still pretty darn good. But if you looked at it closer, looked at the analytical numbers, his QBR was 48, his second lowest of his career. There was still a lot to be desired, and that offense just looked disjointed and out of rhythm for a good chunk of the season. And again, basically everyone in New York ended up fired after the entire Aaron Rodgers experiment. Not saying that's entirely Aaron's fault, not by any stretch of the imagination, but when you bring in Aaron and he's supposed to be the savior and the guy that gets you to the promised land, and instead you have two abysmal seasons, one due to Aaron's injury, the other due to just the team not being good and everyone's canned, again, it doesn't look great. And I'm sure Aaron would like to end his career on a much better light than what that one in New York ended up being. Looking back at the Aaron Rodgers trade from a Packers standpoint, still fun to look at, and as we kind of get ready for the season, the Jets in that trade ended up getting Aaron Rodgers. Will McDonald is the pick swap that they basically did with Lucas Van Ness. And then they have two former seventh rounders in Jerick Bernard Converse and Zach Kuntz. The only player that they have there is remaining for the Jets is Will McDonald the fourth. Now, again, the swap of first round picks didn't mean a whole heck of a lot in the scheme of things. But so you can kind of take LVN and McDonald the fourth out of this equation, but that's what's left for the Jets is Will McDonald the fourth. For the Packers, they have Lucas Van Ness, Luke Musgrave. They got Anders Carlson. He's gone, but they also got Edgerrin Cooper with the pick that they got in that trade as part of that deal. And then they also used 168, in 2024 to trade up for Jacob Monk. And they used pick 190 to help them trade up for Evan Williams. So a piece of Evan Williams, a full Edgerrin Cooper, and then still kind of two lottery tickets, if nothing else, in Luke Musgrave and Lucas Van Ness. If you take the Van Ness and McDonald things out of it, because again, it's basically just two picks between themselves, take that pick swap out of it, and it's basically nothing left for the Jets. They technically, I think, have Zach Kuntz left. I don't know if Jerick Bernard Converse is still on the team as well, but I don't know if either of those players are set to make the team this year. Meanwhile, the Packers have Luke Musgrave, Edgerrin Cooper, and partially Jacob Monk and Evan Williams from some picks that they used in those trades as well. So definitely Green Bay doing a little bit better than what the Jets ended up with. And of course, the biggest part of that deal in its entirety was the Packers getting off of Rodgers' contract and the Jets taking on a massive Rodgers contract that was a godsend for Green Bay and an absolute albatross for the Jets, which remains on their salary cap for the next couple seasons as well. Much better trade for Green Bay than it ended up being for New York. That kind of does it for the entire conversation. I could not be more thrilled about Rodgers being a Pittsburgh Steeler. I'm excited to see him play more football. I'm excited to see how the Steelers do, how he does. And of course, week 8 Packers Steelers is going to be absolutely epic. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate you guys a ton. I'll be right back here tomorrow with an all new episode. Shout out to our All Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Brandon Pilata, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Jake Conner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelsinkel, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, and Pack Attack Cast. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.